If you were wanting to, as I was, and I know a few of you were wanting to, if you were wanting to say thank you for our music team by clapping your hands, let's do that. We are very thankful for you, Miss Millie, and very thankful for Sam. We know he gives support, moral support, cheers you on, and very thankful for Dan and Rich and Laura and everyone who takes part in that. Thank you very much. Kids, come on up. All right, Mikey, come on up. Good to see you here. Nice shirt, looking sharp. Way to go. You ran up. Hey, wait, come here, stand up. Did anyone notice this man, this young man right here, face them, this young man, he just ran up here. Yeah, this is the guy who broke his femur. So, Mrs. Potter, people who broke their femurs, I'm just picking on you. All right, so let's think dinner time. Think dinner time. Dinner time at your house. And here's the question. At your house, when you eat dinner, are there any rules? When you eat dinner, are there any rules at all? Yeah. What's a rule at your house?
Mind your manners.
Okay, mind your manners. So what would be considered good manners at your house? Got any manners at your house?
Pray before you eat.
Oh, very good. Pray before you eat. Any others?
Don't smack.
Don't smack. What is smacking?
You chew with your mouth open.
None of that. And then if you're like feeling in a rebellious mood, you go, well, secretly I'm smacking. Ha. Yeah. Yes. In my head. And we'd correct for that too if our kids let us know that secretly they were smacking their chops. What else? Rules at your house? Any rules at your house?
Don't talk when you're chewing.
Aha, so you're not supposed to talk with your mouth full. Very good. Okay. Any others? Any rules over there at your house? Oh, say please and thank you. Very good. Okay. Well, you know what? When we gather here as a church family, every third Sunday or so, we have something called the Lord's Table, Communion, the Lord's Supper, okay, variously named. Yes?
Don't get your clothes dirty.
Don't get your clothes dirty. Not allowed to spill food down the front. Another good rule. I like the rules at your house. It's very good. Well, do you think there are rules in communion?
Yeah,
there are. There are rules. And today, we're going to talk about the manners that one should have when we take communion together. All right? So, if you're going to be in here, great, you'll hear that message. And if you're not, that's great too. You can ask mom or dad or grandma or grandpa, so what are the manners that you're to have at the Lord's table? Let's pray together. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for loving us first. Thank you so much for these kids being here. We pray your blessing upon them. Bless the lesson today as they go to children's church, or bless them if they're staying here. And please be with us as we read and study your word together now. May you be glorified in all that we say and do in Christ's name. Amen. Off you go. Take your Bibles and open with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and as Dan was taking us through the memory verse, it actually probably will be a few weeks till we get to that verse. Next week is Mother's Day, and the next section in 1 Corinthians 11, it'd be hard to turn that into a Mother's Day message. So I'll probably prepare something special for Mother's Day next week. And then the next week we'll finish chapter 11, and then the next week we'll be in chapter 12. So, Lord willing, this month yet. But for today, we're in 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26. And the title of the message this morning is Mind Your Manner or Else. Mind Your Manner or Else. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. Right book here. 1 Corinthians 11, 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Let's start with those last words there, until he comes. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming again. Soon. Soon and very soon we are going to see the King. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Hebrews 10:37. Christ is coming again. And until then, and we do not know exactly when Jesus Christ is coming again. No one knows the day or the hour. We are all to be always ready, eagerly looking for his return. But until the day when he comes, we all are to be doing what? Now, there are many ways you might answer that. But I'm going to answer using words that Paul has used twice in this letter so far. We are to be doing all to the glory of God. All. Turn back to chapter 6. At the end of chapter 6, Paul said this. This is the way to live the Christian life. Chapter 6, verse 19, Paul asks, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore," a one statement about how to live the Christian life, "glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." That's what we're to be doing until he comes, glorifying God in all that we do. Turn to chapter 10 and verse 10:31. Paul says, "Therefore, whether you eat or drink," that's pretty basic, right? "Whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Until Jesus Christ comes again, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you are to do everything to the glory of God. And if you're wondering, how do you do everything to the glory of God? Refer to the message I preached on that subject a few weeks back. But even communion, even the simple partaking of the bread and the cup together in the church, we are to do to the glory of God. How? How exactly do you partake of communion to the glory of God? What is the manner, or what are the manners that we are to have at the Lord's table? That's what we're going to answer this morning. Before I answer that, does it even matter? Does your manner matter at the Lord's table? Take a look down at verse 27, and you'll see why I said this might not be Mother's Day message for next week. Verse 27, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." Guilt. Guilt before God if you take of the Lord's table in an unworthy manner. Take a look at verse 29. "For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." And verse 30, "For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep." Many sleep? You know what that means, right? Many are dead. Wait a second. Why are many among them dead? Why had many of them become sick? Why had many of them become weak? For not taking of the Lord's table in a proper manner. For eating the bread and drinking the cup in a manner unworthy. This is serious. This is mind your manner, or else you'll be guilty of the body and the blood of Christ, and or else you'll be drinking judgment into yourself. The consequences of which may be illness, weakness, or death. Very serious matter. So, the truth is this. Every Christian had better take part in the Lord's table in a worthy manner, lest he or she drink judgment to themselves. And now, how? How are we to partake of the Lord's table? How are we to eat the bread and drink the cup in a manner worthy? In verses 23 to 26, I want you to see five elements of partaking of the elements. Five elements of partaking of the elements. But I will admit that really one of them is the main one, and it's to do this in remembrance of Christ. But there are other elements here which I don't think we should ignore either. The first element in proper partaking of the elements is the giving of thanks. Just as Mikey said, a couple of the kids said, you know, pray before you eat. Well, yes. And even before you eat the Lord's table. Verse 23. For, and we have to stop there for just a moment. For tells you that this connects to what Paul just said, and it's very interesting. Paul is here explaining why he did not praise the church at Corinth. At the end of verse 22, he said, I do not praise you. And now he's going to tell them why. And it reads like this. I do not praise you because I received from the Lord what I delivered to you, and you're neglecting it. In essence, that this whole section, 23 to 26, which we always read at the Lord's table, we usually do not say anything about that first word, for. But the whole section is Paul explaining why he was not praising the church at Corinth. They were neglecting the instruction of the Lord Jesus Christ concerning the Lord's table. Beloved, let's not be guilty of that. Let's not neglect what God has told us about proper partaking of the Lord's table. For, he says, I received from the Lord. Where did Paul get his teaching? From the Lord. When we teach, when Pastor Jerry teaches on a Tuesday night, when Pastor Jerry teaches again on a Wednesday night, or if it might be Pastor Dan or one of the rest of us in here teaching on a Wednesday night, whenever I teach or preach on a Sunday morning, we're getting our messages from the Word of God. We encourage you to open it. I hope you have a Bible open. You should. We encourage you to follow along in the Bible to make sure that what you're hearing and what you're learning is from the Lord. It's not to be neglected. Paul did not praise the church at Corinth because what he had gotten to give them was from God. And so it was to be obeyed. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, obviously on a previous visit, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks. Let's stop there. Now this was on the same night in which Jesus Christ was betrayed by Judas. Most likely this is referring to his betrayal by Judas. Although the same word, the word for handing someone over, is used in other places in the Gospels when it talks about Jesus being delivered up. He was delivered up by the Jews. He was delivered over by the Pharisees. But he was also delivered over by Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12. And the others, you recall, did not know that he was the traitor. Is it possible for someone to be a traitor? Yes. Is it possible for someone to be a traitor and not be known for some period of time? Yes. And one of the things that was happening in the church at Corinth is some people who seemed to be traitors were being exposed. Paul is warning them. This is a note of warning here. I received from the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Probably a small loaf. This was the Passover meal. I won't go into all the details about Passover. We've done that before. But this was the Passover meal, unleavened bread, probably a small loaf. And it says, verse 24, and when he had given thanks. When he had given thanks for what? Most obvious answer, for the bread. Sure, for the meal, for the bread and for the cup. Where do we receive, from where do we receive our food? From God. And if you were in Sunday school, I was in the habit of giving away, not the habit, once a year maybe. But I had a dollar in my pocket, and you'll have to ask questions about that later. But we gave a dollar to somebody for knowing a word. But here's a question for you. For what purpose did God create food? I mean, he could have made us so that we could live without food. For what purpose did he create food? It wasn't so that we would live. Okay, so that we would depend on him. And do you know where you would find that? Anybody know? Probably somebody does. But in 1 Timothy 4:3, it says that God created food for this purpose, to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Interesting purpose statement for food, right? Somebody says, what's the purpose of food? Well, here it is. Food is to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Did Jesus know and believe the truth? Absolutely. And Jesus gave thanks. And those who believe and know the truth give thanks before they eat. Yeah, sometimes we're absent-minded and we dive in. Yes, that happens. But we really should mind our manners at the table by giving thanks every time before we eat food, to give thanks to the God of heaven who gives it. You cannot name a food you eat that does not come from God. You can't. Try. You can't name a food you eat that doesn't come from God, because God is the creator of all things. Even if it's a man-made with lots of preservatives, God made preservatives. God made the people that made preservatives. God made the people who came up with the iron that built the equipment to build the factory. Believe me, I know, I was an engineer and worked at Frito-Lay for a while. Chip engineer. Just kidding. Partaking of the Lord's table, and just seeing if you're awake. Partaking of the Lord's table in a worthy manner begins with the giving of thanks, which, Lord willing, we all do together when we partake of the Lord's table. Which leads to the second element of partaking of the elements, and that is not only giving of thanks, but partaking together. Partaking together. Verse 24 says, and when he had given thanks, he broke. That's all it says in the original. He broke. Well, implied he broke the bread. The bread was in a small loaf. He broke it, and not just once, most likely Jesus himself broke it into small pieces for each of the disciples to receive a share. You might remember that one of the first things we learned in studying 1 Corinthians was that if you are in Christ, you are a shareholder, just like a shareholder in a company, a stockholder, a shareholder. You have a piece of Christ. You have a share in Jesus Christ and who he is and what he did and what he is doing and will do. If you're a believer in Christ, God, who is faithful, has made you a shareholder. This is symbolic of that fact. And Jesus took the bread and he broke it into small pieces to share with the disciples so that each one would receive a share. And then verse 24, in not all of your Bibles, some of your Bibles, it says, take, eat. Why do I say it's in some and not in all? Well, there are a few different versions and manuscripts. Why would anyone have it in there? One is because it's in some manuscripts, but another is because it's in Matthew. Jesus commanded on that night, take, eat. Now, those seem like small, insignificant commands, but no command of the Lord Jesus Christ is small or insignificant. Take, eat meant take, and eat. None of the disciples was supposed to say, you know what, I'm not really hungry. It wasn't about satisfying hunger. Something far more significant was going on at the Lord's table and is going on when we partake of the Lord's table together. They were, all of them, and each one of them individually, they were to take and they were all to eat together. Together. Giving of thanks and then partaking together. This is the right manner of partaking of the Lord's table. Third, partaking in order. Very briefly, first the bread and then the cup. All the Gospels record it the same way. First the bread and then the cup. Why is that important? Well, clearly in Corinth, they were not partaking together. And some were going, as I said, back for seconds and thirds on wine and getting drunk. Their communion was celebrated together with a love feast, and it was chaos, it was disorder, perhaps no giving of thanks, but I think what Paul is especially going after is their lack of unity. They were not unified in their partaking of the Lord's table. They were not waiting for one another. They were viewing it as a meal to get a snack, to fill their hunger. He says, what? Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? If somebody's hungry, don't use the church or the Lord's table for that. And I'm confident we don't have anyone here who's grabbing all the crackers out saying, man, am I starved. Or bringing a little can of Cheese Whiz along or something like that. Hopefully nobody's doing that. Or as some people are known to do, hopefully you're not using the plate that gets passed around to make change. Heard you know, stories. Pastors tell stories. We got this one guy that makes change in the plate. I'm confident that we are giving thanks together, that we are partaking of the bread together, and that we're partaking in order, the bread and then the cup. But as I said, I admitted that really one of them is the main one. One main manner of partaking the Lord's table. What is it? Do this in remembrance. In remembrance, Jesus says, of me. Verse 24, when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, verse 25, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. This is the fourth, but really the most foundational and the most important element in partaking of the elements. In remembrance of Jesus. But I wonder if all Christians today were asked to take a one-question exam, and the exam was to write a brief essay on the exact meaning of in remembrance of Jesus, would they all pass? Does it mean merely that at the moment you take of the bread or cracker, at the moment you drink of the cup, is it merely a mental activity? Oh yeah, I have to call to mind something right now in this moment about Jesus, or I will not have partaken in remembrance of him. Is it merely mental activity? To put it another way, if someone is living their life in neglect of Jesus Christ, and then they come to his table, and they say a prayer, and they try to bring to mind something about Jesus when they eat the bread and drink the cup, do you think they're eating in a worthy manner? Now, without question, I think everyone would say there is some mental activity involved. No one would deny. Remembrance, in part, is a mental activity. Remembering Jesus. So in remembrance of me, let's think about that, would be in remembrance of who Jesus is. And who is Jesus? Paul has one main answer to that question in mind here. Verse 23, I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed. And verse 26, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Old Testament name for God is Lord. Yahweh, Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Jehovah. Jesus Christ is Yahweh. Please do not welcome those who come to your door bringing a different teaching saying that Jesus is not Jehovah. Yes, you should not welcome Jehovah's Witnesses into your house, lest you partake of their evil deeds of spreading false doctrine every day. Read 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Okay? Jesus is Lord. He is the one true God. And when we partake of the Lord's table, we do that in remembrance of who he is. We also do it in remembrance of what he did. And what did he do? He laid down his life for us. Jesus laid down his life for us. Take, eat, this is my body. Now, again, I'm not going to go into the details of this. One view says that when Jesus said, this is my body, he meant literally, this is actually a piece of my flesh. So the disciples were eating hunks of Jesus' flesh. Or that somehow it became a hunk of Jesus' flesh somewhere going down. No, that is not what Jesus meant. It represents the body of Jesus Christ. Just like in the next, when he says this cup is the new covenant is not a cup. The new covenant is a covenant. It is a promise that God made. Okay? So when Jesus said, this is my body, the disciples would clearly have understood that. This represents my body, which is And some of your versions say broken, or just which is for you, or which is given for you. Either way, broken, if your Bible says broken, does not mean that any of the bones of Jesus Christ were broken on the cross. Because the scripture, which cannot be broken, said in Psalm 34, not one of his bones will be broken. And the Apostle John quotes that same verse in John 19:36, saying, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which says, not one of his bones shall be broken. Jesus' bones were not broken, but his body, his life, was destroyed for you. And that's what this means. When Jesus said, this is my body for you, it means this is my life sacrificed for your sakes. My life given as a sacrifice for your sins. And when we partake of the Lord's table, we remember that glorious gospel that Jesus Christ, once for all, gave his life on the cross as a once for all payment for all of our sins. Don't miss the gospel. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, all of your sins have been forgiven you. And we do this when we partake of the Lord's table. We do it in remembrance of him and what he did, which was not only that he gave his body, but he shed his blood. Verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Here's a trick question. I know I asked this one recently, so some of you should definitely get this right, because I know I asked this trick question recently. The old covenant God made with Israel, but the new covenant God made with Israel. Good for you. Good for you. The new covenant God made with Israel too. And you know what? We are commanded to never forget that. Do you know where? Ephesians 2. Remember, here's the idea of remembrance, right? Never forgetting truth. Remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called the uncircumcision. You know what that means? Not part of the covenant, or the covenants, but not part of the covenant with Abraham. You who are called the uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands. At that time, meaning before Jesus Christ, you were without Christ, without a Messiah, without the promised Savior. You were aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, including the new, which God said in Jeremiah 31:31 that he would make a new covenant with the house of Israel. You had no hope. We had no hope. God had not made a covenant with us. He says, you are strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But, praise God for that, right? But, now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Your only hope, if you're a Gentile, okay? It's really true if you're a Jew too and you're here today. But if you're here today and you're a Gentile, your only hope is the blood of Jesus Christ. You have no hope apart from that. The blood of Jesus Christ standing for Christ's sacrifice on the cross for our sins. And I just a word to you, perhaps you're here today and you don't know Christ. You need to know that you have no hope. Zero. And hope means confident expectation. Maybe you hope your team's going to win. Maybe you hope you're going to get a good job. But what I mean when I say you have no hope, you have no basis for any confident expectation of good in the future, and particularly beyond this life, apart from Christ. And one of two things is going to happen today. And I'm speaking to you who don't know Christ, okay? Speaking to you who don't know Christ. One of two things is going to happen today. Either you're going to go back out those doors today the same way you came in, having zero hope, and worse off because you heard the message of hope and you neglected it. I hope this is the case. Or you will even now trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll believe in him and you'll be saved and you'll go out those doors with joy inexpressible. Please, if you are here today and you do not have Christ, don't leave without Christ. He who has the Son has life. And he who has not the Son has not life. You have no life. You're dead. Dead in your trespasses and sins. And you will die in your sins unless you repent. If you do not repent, you will perish. Please, if you are here today and you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, I say again, today is the day. Now is the time. Do not neglect what you're hearing from me. Do not neglect the free offer of forgiveness of all of your sins, past, present, and future. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ today and you'll be saved. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. As Peter preached on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the promise of the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will come into your life and you will rejoice in Christ and you will partake together with us communion in a worthy manner, which consists of what? Giving of thanks, partaking together, partaking in order, and partaking in remembrance, which, as I've said, in part involves a mental activity of remembering who Jesus is, that he is Lord, remembering what he did, that he gave his life for us on the cross, remembering what he will do, he will come again. But is it merely a mental activity? Is it just a mental activity? Does it mean, do this in remembrance of me? Does that mean you're good as long as you partake of communion and at the moment you remember Jesus? In the Old Testament, remembrance is a word that has to do with covenant faithfulness. The person who forgets is a deserter, one who has turned their back on the Lord. Remembrance is expressing that you are faithful to the covenant God. As one commentator puts it well, it is not a mere mental recollection. It is both identification and confession. Meaning, when you partake of the Lord's table, you are identifying yourself as a believer in Jesus Christ, and you are confessing that Christ is your Lord. So what happens if your life outside of the church is anything but godly? And then you come into the house of God and partake of communion, you are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ if you are living a hypocritical life. If outside of this church you are living a godless life, if you are a hypocrite, the Lord hates hypocrites, and if you continue partaking of the Lord's table, living your life in hypocrisy, there's nothing the rest of us need to do. You are drinking judgment to yourself. The Lord himself will deal with you. Beloved, I don't want any of you to be guilty of that. I don't want any of you to drink or eat judgment. One of the things I pray for when we are partaking of the Lord's table is I pray, Lord, please do not let anyone in this flock be drinking judgment today. Partaking of the Lord's table in a worthy manner means doing it in remembrance of Christ, meaning that you examine your life. Another commentator said that to do in remembrance is the idea of doing something along with the eating of the bread and drinking of the cup. And Paul tells us what the something else is. It's examining your life before Christ. That's what he says. Verse 28. Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. That is part of doing in remembrance of Christ. And yes, that is a mental activity, but it involves serious life examination. And that question you should ask yourself in self-examination is, am I living in remembrance of him? Is my life a testimony to the fact that I remember, I keep in mind who Christ is, that he is Lord? What he did, he sacrificed his life for me. And what he said, which is that I should be giving my life in love to others. You know, let me put it another way. If you come to the Lord's table, but the truth is you are not loving the brethren, you are guilty of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ, and you are drinking judgment to yourself. I don't know how much plainer I can be. every time you come to the Lord's table. And don't wait for the Lord's table. Examine your life today. 2 Corinthians 13:5, examine yourselves whether you're in the faith. And the test question is Christ in you? Can you see Christ at work in your life? Do you see Christ's love poured out through you to other people? Whether that's sharing the gospel, serving in the church, giving of your time, effort, talent, energy to the Lord's work. Do you see Jesus Christ at work in your life? One element left. What are the elements of partaking the elements in a worthy manner? Giving of thanks, partaking together, partaking in order. Most of all, partaking in remembrance, not merely a mental activity, but examining your life to see if you are living your life in remembrance of Christ. Finally, partaking forever. Partaking forever. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, which means we don't stop eating the bread and drinking the cup. We don't cease. We're not a church that's going to say, you know, we've done away with communion. I've heard that some churches are doing that. Doing away with communion, or if you want to do that, there's a table in the back. I know I mentioned that recently. That amazes me. That shocks me. I can't believe that a church would do that. All I can figure is it became a burden to them, or I don't know. We are not going to stop partaking of the Lord's table together until he comes. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And when he comes, what are we going to do? We're going to partake together in gladness with him. Jesus told his disciples, this is recorded in some of the Gospels, especially in Luke. He said, I will not drink it again until that day. Jesus himself, when he instituted the Lord's table, was looking forward to the day when he would eat of it again together with all of his disciples. When the fruit of his death on the cross would all be gathered around him, yes, in gladness, yes, in joy, as some of you said when I asked that question. Good for you. Yes, in gladness, yes, in joy. Blessed are all those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will in gladness and joy drink together with the Lord at his table. Until that day comes, beloved, mind your manner. Let's pray. Father, we love you and thank you again for loving us first. We thank you for your word, which is so powerful, which is so pure and true. We thank you for speaking to our hearts. Father, again, I pray, if there be anyone in this house today, your house, who has an evil heart of unbelief, I just pray, Father, please do what no one else can do. Break that heart into pieces and remove the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh. We pray there might be rejoicing in this house today. Perhaps there's one woman here today, one man here today, or one young person who, if truth be known, they have not been living a life worthy of Christ. Father, let today be a day of salvation. And for all my brothers and sisters here today, Father, I pray that none of us would be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord as we partake of the Lord's table here every few weeks. We just pray that you would be honored and glorified in all that we do. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.